Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Now, my mission, assigned task, and gratefully received, is to some remembrances of those early days, end of 1969, first part of 1970 here in Los Angeles, and because we had Jagannath, we didn't have big Gornatai, as I recall. It was small Gornatai and Rukmini Dwarkanath. But because it is Bhagavatam space, time, I wanted to just read, and I'll just read the English because we don't have much time, of this verse from Bhagavatam. This is from the ninth canto. It is chapter 24, verse 65. Just imagine if you came over here and instead of the beautiful altar, I'll give an example. There was Jayadwaita Swami was in San Diego and he was giving Sunday feast talk. And there was a group of meditators, a yogi meditation teacher. I found out later on that sometimes they meditate naked. So we're very happy they wore, at least they wore clothes, so we were grateful for that. But at the end of Jayadwaita Swami's, Jayadwaita Swami's a solid sannyasi, and it was, the yoga teacher raised his hand, and, Jayadwaita Swami called for questions. And he said, yes. He said, I'd like to know what the significance of the fountain is. In San Diego, we have a little fountain in front of the deities, a little burbling fountain, Jayadwaita answered. He said, the point of the fountain is it gives pleasure to the transcendent Lord who has senses and is standing right in front of you. They completely missed the deities. They'd missed the whole thing. They were meditating on the fountain. Oh, when the man asked Prabhupada, I think it's San Francisco, where else? When I chant, I hear bells, I see lights. Prabhupada's classic answer, keep chanting, it'll go away. Yeah. So the not just that the deity worship is one of the nine processes. Of course it is, and the basis, Vishnu, Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaram. Okay, fine, we know all that. But really, like if I have you ever look through a telescope or binoculars, and you focus, it brings everything into focus. You have that experience, so I want you to be thinking about that experience. When in spiritual life you add the seva of the deity, that I'm a servant of Rukmini Dwarkadish, or whatever your temple is, Radha Govinda or Radha Giridhari, I'm theirs. I'm their servant. All the processes, all the philosophy, everything comes into focus. So because it's Bhagavatam space, I wanted to just read this one verse. And of course all the diacritics or everything's missed up, but I'm just going to read the English. And again, this is 9:24:65. Krishna's face, imagine, you walk over here and we open the curtain and there's a swirling light. No deities. What? Am I a bad dream? What's going on here, So, anyway, I'll just read this. Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments. such as earrings resemble sharks. His ears are beautiful, his cheeks brilliant, and his smiling attractive to everyone. Whoever sees Lord Krishna sees a festival. His face and body are fully satisfying to everyone to see. But the devotees are angry. Anyone know why? It says here, are angry at the Creator for the disturbance caused by the momentary blinking of their eyes. And I'm just going to read a portion of the purport because of time. As stated by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 7.3, out of many thousands amongst men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who achieve perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Just to understand, and we're going to get into this later on, our causeless good fortune. And one of the lines of the purport, Prabhupada says, unless one is qualified to understand Krishna, he cannot appreciate the presence of Krishna on earth. So, just as a little bit of an invocation. Let's see what's up here. Oh, Govinda. East meets west. Rarely the twain will meet. As a cautionary tale, first, those of you who've been to India, classic example is, if you've ever been to the Maharaj of Jayapur's temple built in 1930 in Vrindavan, the railway line to Vrindavan was paid for by the Maharaj of Jayapur to bring stone to from Makrana for that temple. And it's an absolute, if you look at it, it's a masterpiece of architecture. It is a beautiful, beautiful building. And the deities are Radha Nila Madhava, and they're beautiful, beautiful deities. And the temple is full of monkeys and dogs, pigeon droppings. I've been there, the pujaris are eating out of a tiffin right in front of the deities, sitting in the, picture them sitting on this ledge between the, with a space before it drops down to the floor. Just reading the newspaper and snacking while the deities' clothes are dirty and falling apart. We go to some of those temples, and I don't mean to find fault. There's multiple reasons, but here's the core reason. And you see a number of deities on the altar. Five or six deities, different sets of deities, Radha Krishna deities, all crowded on the altar. You know why? Each of those deities had their own beautiful temple at one point in time. And with the temple, there were shops along Loy Bazaar, and the rents helped pay for the maintenance. There were cows. There was land for maintaining the temple. But, maintaining a temple, ask Mahapur Shashi. Every one of those gray hairs, she's got a name on it, It's not easy. So let's just... I've got a daughter. My fourth daughter needs to get married. Let me just... We'll move the deities into the other temple and sell the land and get the rent ourselves and use it for our household or maintenance. And it happens again and again and again all over India. And the deities standing, abandoned, crying, Prabhupada said. Kunj Bihari in Dallas, the beautiful big, Kalachanji, big Kalachanji. He was a doorstop. They were keeping him as a doorstop. There's a Jayapur museum. If you go to the city palace, you poke around. I went there years ago. Just poking around, It's amazing what you find. And they were using him as a doorstop, holding the door open. So without bhakti and without philosophy, Prabhupada said, we will come to the point of thinking, our spiritual master has given us a great burden. It is a great burden, meaning. And one's heart just becomes stone. You think the deity is stone? Guess what happens to your heart? Our heart becomes just like stone. So, Srila Prabhupada would be very, is, not would, because he's not a limited by time and space. Prabhupada is very pleased that this temple that he gave his life and soul to, that this wonderful 50th anniversary, this festival is going on, that the deities are being worshipped. How much did we spend on flowers, just petals alone? $1,500? Something like that. Worth every single penny. Prabhupada said, spend luxuriously for the deities. There was, it's off the track, but a little New Dwarka Leela. New Dwarka was the world headquarters. But to remember that which coming into a house, there's only one type of electricity. Electricity is coming into the house. It's one energy. But it goes into the heater and it makes things hot. It goes into the ice box or AC or whatever, makes things cold. So it's the same energy, but it can be hot or cold. Krishna's one. We know that. Krishna's the, you know, one. It's the cause of all causes, aham sarvasya prabhu. And that one energy can make matter spirit. Prabhupada said the deity will talk to you. Rather than thinking the deity is a great burden, the deity will, and I, you know, we have Sakshi Gopal, actually did speak, became the witness. And there's so many pastimes like that. And all of us who've served in a temple for a long time, seriously served, there's so many times the deity has saved us, inspired us. All of you know that in your life. But it can be lost. That which is matter can become spirit, and that which can be a spirit become matter. The deity is not wood or stone or metal. It's Krishna standing there before us. One of the devotees asked Prabhupada, you know, that you get these when you travel, and even Prabhupada got the Stumpy Swami questions, you know. They've been working on it for about 6 months, and they're going to, you know, stump the Swami question. You know? So the devotee, there's a verse in the Bhagavatam, and I should have found it, I just didn't have a chance, that it talks about how Krishna is the source of all life. We understand that. Krishna is the source of all life. It's in that description of Vaikuntha. Anyway, I don't want to take too much time. But it says that the garland on Krishna is ever fresh because Krishna is the source of all life. Right? Makes sense? Garland never wilts. Krishna is the source of all life. Anyone know what the Stump the Swami question was? Smart man. Well, then why does, if the deity is Krishna and Krishna is the source of all life and the deity is one, then why does the garland wilt? You know what Prabhupada said? Just to give you service. It's true. It's a great answer. It's clever. It's, you know, funny. But it's true. The deity appears. Krishna doesn't need us. You know? Oh, I have to do RT. Oh, I have to cook the offering. I have to go on sanctum. You don't have to do anything. You can go on welfare. You can jump off a bridge. You can do so many. You don't have to do it. You can work in the fender. Looking for something, son? A lost soul. You know, you can work in the fender bender factory. You can do IT. I don't mean to criticize those things. I found what he's looking for. But Krishna appears, Prabhupada says, in a form that we can handle. You know, he's right there. I remember seeing, he's passed away. And I mean this as praise. Do you know Keshava? Remember Keshava, Prabhupada's Keshava? He was a Marine. And then he was a Hell's Angel. He was a heavy guy. He was my first temple commander. I can never repay him. Believe me, it was like boot camp. You did not argue with Keshava. I fell off a ladder here in New Dwarka, and my ankle was completely swollen. I said, hey, Prabhu, time for Harinam. I said, I can't walk. So what do you do, wheel me out there? He said, get a milk crate. And he carried me out, put me on a milk crate in front of the Harinam party. I was distributing books. It's a great training. I can never repay him. It's great training. But I remember him, and I knew his history. And he was a heavy guy. You did not mess with Keshava. And I remember seeing him combing Rukmini Dwarkanath's hair. I don't remember with Krishna or Radharani. But he had a little comb. They got it from a doll store. Here was this, the big, fat fingers. And I'm not criticizing. He was a big, what do they call it, a ham fist? He had a big fist. And in his little, he was combing little Radharani's wig, And I thought, jeez, so carefully. So Krishna comes in a form just so we can handle him. One man was it's on the tape. And, with some yogi, and he's asking, well, what about the universal form and the light behind Krishna? Prabhupada said, universal form? Where will you hang the garland? Well, where you put it on a tree, which devotees do quite often, but he comes in a form that we can see him, appreciate him, cook for him, spread his glories, maintain his temple. She's passed away now. She was the oldest living disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Braja Badu. Someone needs to give me a watch. I'll give it back, I promise. Unless it's a Rolex. No, I'm kidding. Can I see it with my half-blind eyes? Where'd you get this watch? No, you're a brahmachari. I offer my respects. Someone have a watch that has I can't see the face. It's in your own self-interest. Thanks, bro. This one's day glow. Okay. I'm assuming it's 8:30 now? Okay. Either that or I've got the watch upside down. Where were we? The oldest living disciple of Srila Prabhupada. She was so old, she'd forgotten how old she was. It's true. She'd call me sometimes. Badri! I was the temple president, San Diego household. Badri! I lost my teeth! We'd have to send somebody over to help her find her teeth, She's an old lady, you have to help her. And she would come, she had a devotee who would drive her 3 days a week. She could barely move. She was 100, she was over 100. And she would sweep the temple patio. And she'd come in time for prasadam, she ate like a bird, she ate a little, a few chickpeas. And then she would start sweeping. And she'd rest, And the brahmachari, nice brahmacharis are, Mataji, please, She would not, you would have to, she was not going to even up that broom. And she could do. She could clean Radha Giridhara. It took her all, I swear to you. She was there all morning. She could get darshan, take a few chickpeas, start sweeping the patio, have maybe a chapati for lunch, sweep all afternoon. And anyone's been to San Diego, the temple, the patio's, it's not as big as this temple room, is it? Maybe so. Maybe at the most it's as big as this temple room. Take her the whole day. She'd be there for the early evening RT, and then one of her friends would drive her home. Took her all day long. And I have absolute, Prabhupada speaking, you can hear it on the Radha Damodar tapes. You can hear the interruption. You can't hear Prabhupada's side conversation. But we're a little afield, but I want to make the point. Prabhupada was speaking those Radha Damodar lectures, from, if you have not listened, regularly, at least once a year, to the Radha Damodar lectures from the Nectar of Devotion by Prabhupada. Oh, they're just profound. Anyway, at the same time every day, a young lady, I'm maybe 25, 30, no, she's an old lady, I'm sorry. Old lady. You'd hear, you know, those Indian, you know, they get the gate open, and then she had two buckets of water. They clang as the handles would go down, and it happened three or four times, and some sannyasi went, Mataji, you know, because Prabhupada was speaking. Third time, the brahmachari tried to stop, a sannyasi tried to stop her, and said, no. Prabhupada said, since she was a little girl, every day she was going down to the Jamuna and bringing two buckets of water for bathing Damodar. Every day. Never missed a day. You think about that. Never missed a day. Two buckets of water. And Prabhupada said, after this birth, she's going back to Godhead. Devotees went over to tell her, just covered her ears. She didn't want to hear it. She's, you know, hey, don't hold me up. I got to get these buckets to Damodar. So the deity appears before us out of the causeless mercy, just so we can handle him. Just so we have some service. Just so all the philosophy and all the nine processes of devotional service can focus. We can cook, we can sweep, we can sew. Prabhupada said the Sankirtan devotees should think, like Hanuman, how to get Sita back to Ram, how to get Sita, you know, snatch her back from Ravana. The Sankirtan devotees think, how to get this Lakshmi out of Ravana's hands and bring it back to the lotus feet of Lord Ram. All the incarnations are there in Rukmini Dwapadish. Prabhupada confirmed it. How to spread their glories. You're out on Sankirtan, you're out on book distribution to spread their glories. To bring people to their lotus feet. That's your job. You know, convince them by the philosophy, convince them by your example. Life members, everybody can do something. Prabhupada was in Detroit, and I'll get back to what I'm... And they were setting up the mic, you know. Prabhupada was sitting, you know, and then Shruti Kirti was there. Maybe it's Hari. And they were getting Prabhupada's glasses and, you know, the microphone and the cartels and that, you know that. Prabhupada's looking out at the audience. And hippies, and I mean hippies in the real days of when hippies were hippies. And college professors, inner city street kids. You know, the Midwest, we had mill workers there. We had from the River Rouge stamping factory. Polacks. I mean, everybody, the whole montage, the spectrum was there. Prabhupada sat, looked out, sat back, chuckled to himself. He didn't know the mic. Maybe he did, I don't know. But he was speaking to himself. The mic was on. Prabhupada said, Krishna's lotus feet, they're big enough for everyone. And it's true. All of us can find, you're an electrician. Swavasa will be so happy to see you. You've got money? This man was on a morning walk with Prabhupada. Oh, I have a glass factory. I have the biggest glass factory in Bengal. I have the biggest glass. You know, he was going on and on about his glass. He's there with Srila Prabhupada. He's going on and on about his glass factory. You know, Prabhupada's gently trying to finally, Prabhupada, you know, in his role as a sadhu, as a teacher, to cut, wake this man up. Prabhupada's saying, where do you get the silica? And the man was pious, so he said, oh, from Bhagavan. Where do you get the sand? Oh, from Bhagavan. Where do you get the coal? Oh, from Bhagavan. So Prabhupada said, then you are simply a thief. Okay, we're shocked, you know. He kind of was knocked out of the parade for a while in the morning. He recovered at about 5-10 minutes. He comes back and he says, oh, but I give donations. Prabhupada said, all right, you're a little thief. Prabhupada gave him an inch. He didn't give more than an inch. He gave him an inch, you know. So yeah, we have to take care of our families. We have to take care of our health. You have to pay the mortgage. I mean, we're practical. Prabhupada was, if nothing but practical. But still, you've got some money. Give it. Do something wonderful for Krishna. And it doesn't matter. Like that lady bringing the two buckets of water. In Krishna's eyes, she was completely equal with a Birla or whoever it is. Completely equal. Maybe more so, depending on her devotion. So, those early days, and there was, I don't know who found that fantastic clip. That clip that he was showing yesterday of the early days here when it were, first on La Cienega, but I think there were a couple shots from here. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe not, you know. But Vishwajan was here, one of the heroes of our society. And we used to go on Harinam. I mean, that was our main service. We went on Harinam all day long. Trust me, with Keshava in charge, you were out by 10 o'clock. Or he found you, whatever closet you were hiding in, or you know where he found you. And we took lunch out. After a while, we started taking lunch out with us. And we got back, I think, in time for the evening arti, something like that, you know. And I am not exaggerating. It was a panel van, and they took all the seats out except for the front. I think maybe they took the passenger seat in the front out. I don't know, but. And they were wood benches along the side, and then the floor space was just open. We put 20, 25 devotees, 30 devotees in there. I mean, it's not a Vaishnava example, but like sardines, you were just packed in there. And people used to watch. You saw there was a clip there. This is 1969. You have no idea what America was like. America was white, male, Christian. I mean, if you were Catholic, you were a little weird. And if you were Jewish, you were just like not, you know. And anything else, I mean, it was a male, white, Christian world. Men wore hats, suits, and people talk about button down. Everybody was buttoned down. And they used to watch this van. You know, like in a circus, they have those little VW pulls up and how many clowns can get out of it. I think they have a hole in the ground. They come up. I don't know what the thing is, but they have some. But they used to watch with amazement as those doors would pop open. And you'd have literally minimum 20, easily 30 devotees pop out of this thing. They would just watch. And then you'd have Vishwajan, you know, who could just enchant the world. Prabhupada said he could with his voice. And they would just be stunned, you know. And we used to chant in front of Bullocks. It was a big department store. I don't even know if they have Bullocks anymore. It used to be Bullocks downtown. And it's where all the municipal buses used to stop. So there were no EPA in those days. And L.A. was just like a... So you'd have these clouds of buses of blowing diesel fuel right on the Harinam party, you know. Regularly. And there was a... It was called... Golden something. It was a restaurant down the street. It's where all the heroin addicts hung out. So you'd have these heroin addicts stumbling into you, you know. You'd have drunks, prostitutes. Hey, buddy, to the Brahmacharis. Talk about it was not the right market for them. But, you know, prostitutes and Christians, you know, railing. We even had a Christian marching band, trombones, the whole thing set up next to us, you know. Just imagine the determined devotees led by people would go to the Bullocks had a restaurant. I was never in it, but you know, and they had some kind of patio where you would sit. You could sit out, you know, al fresco or whatever. People would regularly get cups of hot coffee, styrofoam cup of hot coffee, put the lid on it, throw it over the balcony. It comes. I think it was at least six floors. It explode, literally. You know, you usually, if it hit you, it hurt. But it wasn't hot enough to scald you. But you'd have sweet, syrupy coffee all over you, or it'd splash and get all over your dhoti, you know? So just picture this scene. You know, Prabhupada said you look like angels from Vaikuntha. Because we stand on the shoulders of giants. We have a tradition. We have a culture. We have an ethos to maintain. It's not all right you come, you know, dressed any way you like, and it's okay, and I'm okay, you're okay. Fine. If you're coming to Krishna's lotus feet, great. But initiated devotees, we have a tradition that we cannot betray, because the world is crying for it. So, Vishnujan Swami, he was tall. I don't know how tall, but anyone, you know, but he was just a magnetic personality. He was from another world. Just some great... He got out of the draft. You know how Vishnujan Swami got out of the draft? He told them that if... He was a devotee. He was an initiated devotee. Went as a devotee. He said he told the draft board guy... They were used to all kinds of people trying to get out of stuff. Get out of the draft. Remember, you went off to the, you know, meat grinder of Vietnam. He said, if I stop my meditation, the whole world will fall into ruin. And the guy told him, either you're right, and we don't want to stop it, or you're completely nuts, and we don't want you. Either way, we don't want you. And that's how he got out of the draft, you know? Just a sublime person. Definitely 100% a yogi from that. I get to give a whole class on Vishnujan Swami. Someday I should. Anyway, picture the scene. It's hot. Nobody had a cotton dhoti. We all had, you know, polyester dhotis that you bought at the yardage store and cut. Bright yellow, maybe white. Polyester kurtas. We had no private clothes. We'll get into that in a second. So here we are, Prabhupada seeing angels from Vaikuntha, chanting in the heat, in the exhaust fumes from the diesel buses, with the prostitutes and the drunks and the heroin addicts and the Christian marching, but they were playing. I remember to this day when the saints come marching in on trombone, boom, 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 boom. You know, and you're just trying to have kirtan, throwing cups of coffee off at us. Some man, button-down businessman, said to Vishnujan Swami, "Why don't you just go home?" And he put his hands up and said, "I'm trying. I'm trying." You know, back home, back to Godhead. So, and then we would come back in the evening and see beautiful Rukmini Dvorkanath, you know, dress nicely, bathe nicely, take some nice prasadam and a kirtan. Every Sunday, Prabhupada's instruction, there were none of these apartment buildings. It was all private homes in those days. It was a middle class, I think a middle, like the one guy who was right across, we used to borrow garden tools from. He was a retired Marine sergeant, you know, straight-laced American neighborhood. I think this had been a Baptist church, congregational church, something, I forget, but you know. And Prabhupada had us make a palanquin. You know, carry palanquin. And we, every Sunday, we go around the block, maybe around two blocks, with kirtan. And Prabhupada told us, knock on their doors and ask if they can give any fruits or flowers. And we thought, no, it's never going to happen. You know, they're going to, you know, I'm going to meet fundamentalist Christians and barking dogs. And you know, but hey, Prabhupada said do it, so we did it. And I swear to you, you'd be amazed. People would say, oh, can you wait a minute, you know? And they would give their best, you know, for a gardener, you give your best roses. I mean, that's like a big deal, you know? And they would look and see. We would decorate the cart, you know, and then we'd put them all, and they had a basket. We'd take them back to the temple. They say, I don't have any flowers, but I've got some fruit. It has to be, you know, uncut. They'd go get apples and oranges, bananas from Vons or whatever, you know. It was just them. There was something about serving the deity. They'd say, well, what is this? You know, the devotees, we were fearless. That's God. He's come in a beautiful form just so you can serve him. People would say, oh, all right. I've got some fruit, you know. And who can imagine when the Yamadutas swoop in for those people with the dogs and the chains and the whips, and they're so terrified they're passing stool and urine. And the Vishnudutas say, stop. They gave a banana to Rukmini Dwarkanath. And they're saved. It's true. It's in Shastra. And our Acharya, Ajamil, what's that all about? So we used to go around, and then we would stop under Prabhupada's window. There was Prabhupada's quarters are up here, and we used to come down this alley. Well, anyway, we did it. But we'd stop under Prabhupada's window, and Prabhupada would come out. Sometimes he'd have his shirt off, and he'd play Madanga along with us on his stomach. Yeah, and Prabhupada had the nice Brahmin belly, you know. And Prabhupada, he was so happy, you know. He'd check, see what we were, okay, fine. And then we'd come out here, and the treasurer would give a financial report. The president would say what the preaching activities would be. You know, there'd be a book report. Did we give her, the different department heads will give a report to the deity. So it was very, we all felt, as you feel, otherwise how can you put on this festival, such a wonderful festival, if you don't feel like it. But that service to the deity that we had, you know, our heart was, if there's a vacuum, nature abhors a vacuum. It's a basic principle of thermodynamics. Nature abhors a vacuum. It will, by left to its own self, it will fill a vacuum with something. If our heart is empty, don't worry. Maya will fill it. You know, Prabhupada says you shut off a light. Do you have to call for darkness? Oh, you wait around. Oh, where's the dark? Must be asleep because it's dark, you know. Remind me to tell you later on, if we have time, about the Polish space program and darkness. It's an old joke. Prabhupada liked a good joke. But if we fill that heart with the deity, you know, I'm cooking for Krishna. And you think about it. Don't just go into the walk-in and find some old yams and a half-rotten potato. Maybe there's some kale. You think about it. What am I going to cook today? What's a nice recipe? What a wonderful meditation. You go out on Sankirtan. How am I going to help these people? What's a verse I can tell them from Bhagavatam? What can I, you know? How can I bring these people to the temple? How can I, you know, whatever. Whatever it is. Doesn't matter. That vacuum, instead of being filled with maya, is filled with wonderful, sweet meditations on how to serve the deity. Prabhupada said you should always dress Radharani. He said it here. Temple room used to be over here. Prabhupada said, you should always dress Radharani more beautiful than Krishna. You know why? Always dress Radharani more beautiful than Krishna. Anyone know why? Prabhupada said, that way he'll never leave. So what a, how did, and I mean, these turbans that you make for, what to speak of the turbans for Rukmini Dwarkanath. But the Jagannath, you know, you could get a degree in mechanical engineering, these turbans, you know? And the devotees start the night before, isn't it? Yeah. That's bhakti. Not to just throw something together and I got it done, you know. If you treat the deity like stone, your heart will become stone. So I've got to edit now. I've got to start editing through stuff. LA was a training ground. Prabhupada had temple presidents from around the world, Australia, London, Paris, all over America, come here. Because, you know, traveling, if Prabhupada traveled, you know, I want to get off on that. It was not an easy thing for Prabhupada to travel, trust me. And he thought, let me get one temple. It was a great idea. Get one temple first class. Yeah, how to do the accounts, double accounting. Prabhupada set it up here, you know. How to do Harinam, how to do book distribution, how to do deity worship, how to cook. What a Brahmachari ashram was like, what a Bhakti ashram was. Prabhupada set it all up here. And then he had leaders from all over the world come here and learn. They would stay for a few days. There was one temple president, because he was nearby. He was our Laguna Beach temple, who I can never repay. I really can't. His name is Durlap. Durlap Darshan. Do you know what Darshan means, according to Prabhupada? It has two meanings. What is the one meaning you all know? Darshan. Yeah, we come and see Krishna. Anyone know what the other meaning of Darshan is? Krishna likes to see us. Prabhupada says that. I was listening to a tape. Yeah, Krishna thinks, oh, my devotees come to see me. Got out of our warm bed or peeled ourselves away from one of our devices. It's a great name. You know, device means something that, you know, pollutes one or spoils one, or he's up to no good, you know. That's a device. One of the meanings of it also means tool, but it's another meaning of device. Look it up in Oxford's. Peeled away from one of our devices, or we took some time, took a shower, put on some nice devotional clothes, scrubbed ourselves up, came, offered some prayers, brought some fruit, maybe a little seva. Krishna likes to see his devotees. It's not a, Prabhupada says reciprocal. Prabhupada uses the seva reciprocal. Krishna darshan. Krishna likes to see his devotees. So how did we get off on that? Oh. So, so Durlab Darshan, his name took me off. So Durlab Prabhu, we had no money. I mean, in those days, New Dwarka had the most money. Therefore, the name New Dwarka. But we really had no money. So Durlab wanted to cook in peanut oil. And we'd heard, you know, ghee is best. You know, maybe vegetable oil, corn oil. Anyway, there was some criteria. And peanut oil was just like the worst. But it was cheap. So Durlab started cooking in peanut oil on Laguna Beach. And, you know, we went on strike. You couldn't digest anything. We're falling asleep. And it was like motor oil. So finally we said, look, you have to ask Prabhupada. If Prabhupada says you can cook in peanut oil. If you can cook in peanut oil, all right. Otherwise, we're not doing it. I don't want to forget, but the Mangalarti, the temple president, Sri Govinda, I mean, with good motivation, get every inch, every waking moment out of the devotees. He started having Mangalarti, instead of 4:30, which if we have time, we'll get into it. But Mangalarti 3, it was a real shock to the devotees. So eventually he wanted to have Mangalarti at 4:15 instead of 4:30. Then he wanted to have Mangalarti at 4 o'clock. Then he wanted to move it to 3:45. You know, get more waking hours out of it, you know. And the devotees went on strike. You have to ask Prabhupada. I'll get back to the peanut oil. You have to ask Prabhupada. So he wrote to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no, 4:30. And here's how Prabhupada answered. He said, because Krishna's tired from herding cows. Actually, he's out dancing with the gopis, you know, but Krishna needs his rest, you know. I mean, he's actually, the devotees were saved again by the merciful hand of Srila Prabhupada. So for the peanut oil, Prabhupada asked, Durlab screwed up his courage and said, Prabhupada, can we cook in peanut oil? Prabhupada said, it's not so nice. Okay. But Durlab, you know, wanted to save money. Came around and said, you know, but Prabhupada, if we cook in peanut oil, I can send more money to the BBT. you know, it's a good strategy. The prophet said, it's not so good. Talk went on, different devotees. Finally, you know, what do they call it? Three strikes and you're out, or the third time's the charm. Durlabh came back at Prabhupada again. But Prabhupada, you know, if we can we cook peanut oil? Prabhupada said, cook it any damn thing you like. It's Prabhupada's exact words. So Durlabh thought, oh, Prabhupada said, we can cook in peanut oil, you know. You get so many Prabhupada saids, you know, some are legit, but you got to hear them from a good source. Somebody heard it firsthand. And then, because I heard this directly from Durlabh anyway, but as he was walking out the door, leaving, you know, they had lunch. They would have lunch. It's really a nice scene, you know, and they'd ask questions about management and philosophy, and you know. So Durlabh thought the matter was settled. The conversation moved on to so many other things, and there's probably about 10 or 12 temple presidents. And as just as Durlabh was going out the door, Prabhupada said, but I know one man who ate too many pakoras cooked in peanut oil. Everyone stopped. What happened? Prabhupada said, he died the next day. We never saw peanut oil again. It was gone, you know. So Prabhupada was training the devotees here, everything accounting. We heard that there was a ceremony called Mangalarti. You know how I found out there was Mangalarti? Shalavati, another one of the heroes. We stand on the shoulders of giants. She would do the deity worship. She was trained by Prabhupada. And she would get up all by herself. I think she would cook the Mangalarti sweets. Anyway, I knew that three times a week, I was a young man, a brahmacharya, you know. Young man means hungry, Prabhupada said. Wake them up at midnight, they're hungry. No problem. Peanut halva, give me a cup. So, if you went on the flower run, you used to get them at the flower market downtown. And you had to leave. We left here at 2:30, 3 o'clock, something, which for in those days you have no. We used to wake up at 7 o'clock. We'd stay out all night long, chanting in front of Hair. And people would come out of that Broadway musical Hair. And the last scene is the devotees chanting on stage. It's about hippie, you know, the age of Aquarius and all that kind of stuff. And we'd be out there chanting with back to Godheads and packs of incense. That would have made a ton of money. And in order to catch that wave, we had to wait till the play was over. And they were coming out at, I don't know, whatever it was, 10 o'clock at night, and come home and go to bed. We got up at 7. There was no one knew about Mangalarti. And the this is the last thing I'll say, and then I'll close. But if you went to the flower market and you got back here, you could get back around 5 o'clock. And I used to go with one other person. You would go with another person. And she would save for you these sweets. Sweet rice, sandesh, burfi. You're smiling. The young man thinks it sounds good to him. Sign me up. I said, okay, I could do that, you know. But it happened a couple of times. I remember asking Shalavati, where do these come from? We didn't even know there was a Mangalarti. We would come back, she would save us the Mangalarti sweets, woof them down as hungry brahmacharis, and then go back to sleep for an hour and a half, you know? And Prabhupada, we read about it. Somebody read it yesterday. Oh, it was in the newsletter you read this morning. Made me think of it. That Prabhupada would read, Prabhupada explained to us, he said, this is the morning program. And he read it off, that we'll get up for Mangalarti, we didn't have Guru Puja, but we had Bhagavatam class. We were just spinning, we couldn't believe it. And Prabhupada's exact words, it will be a bulwark holding back Maya. So think of the Netherlands, you know, Holland, and the dikes. As soon as the dikes go, nature abhors a vacuum. What happens? They're flooded. So Maya is right there. You don't have to call Maya. You know, Maya is like right here. And we're right here. We're marginal. Potency. And that morning program, strong sadhana, a nice japa in the morning, it's a bulwark. It's holding back Maya. That was the word probably. Look it up when you go home. Bulwark. It's a dike. It's a dam. It's a fence that holds back. We had devotees. Sudam's brother fell asleep cooking for the deities. There was a small stove with a small hood over it. He had his japa mali. He was cooking pakoras. Didn't get hurt by Krishna's grace. He fell asleep with his head on the hood. His japa beads swung into the ghee. He cooked up his japa beads. Little black briquettes. Vishnu Jana, Jayo. We thought it was a drone on the harmonica. He fell asleep playing one note on the harmonica because he fell sound asleep, you know? We'd have right out here, when you go down, there's a stoplight. Devotees would fall asleep at the stoplight. Red light. All 4 hour cold, you know? So there was an adjustment period. But all of that started here in New Dwarka, and it is to the credit of the New Dwarka devotees by their fearless leader Swavas Prabhu, and I don't want to mention any other names, and his better half Tadit. That's only fair to say. But I mean, there's Mayapur, Jagadish. I apologize, but people who have served these deities for years and not only maintained but improve the standard. The LA Rath Yatra is just... Think of the... Anyway. So, but I just wanted to say one last thing. This used to be a pipe organ. Right here? This was a pipe organ. And right here they kept... Prabhupada had them keep the pulpit. And they took some of the seats out. And then there were rows here. I think the floor was even sloped, as I recall. Anyone who was around them may remember the floor was sloped. And Prabhupada liked that sloped floor in the seats for, you know, he wanted gentlemen to come. But Prabhupada had him lift up the, put his vyasa, a seat like this, just not a backing, but a seat in the pulpit. And Prabhupada would give the Sunday talk sitting in the pulpit with a pipe organ behind him. One time before, that, you know, it's like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Vishnu Jan Maharaj, who could play anything, was playing around with a pipe organ, you know, just, you know. And Prabhupada's rooms were upstairs. Prabhupada came down. Oh, what is that? And they said, Prabhupada, it's an organ. You play it like piano. Or they said, or like harmonium, one hand, but you don't have to pump it. It's electrical. Prabhupada immediately sat down. I was here. I was in this room. Prabhupada sat right here. And on the seat, started to, you know, got a little feel for the instrument, one hand, the pipe organ. And then Prabhupada said, this is the morning tune. Samsara dava nalalila lo. Devotees came from all over the building, madangas, kartals, and Prabhupada leading kirtan on the pipe organ here, you know. I felt like the cartoon movies. If you'd gone outside and looked, the whole building, like those little movies, you know, would have had wings on it, you know, just floating off the ground. The kitchen was where it is. Prabhupada used to walk around the temple all the time. He walked in there, and Stoka Krishna was the cook. You know, busy cooking for so many devotees. I promise I'll end and I'll end here, but. But he chaunts the dal. You know, you throw, maybe it's a dozen chilies, because you're cooking for 30, 40 devotees. And, you know, in the old days, we used to throw it right in the big pot of dal and put the lid on it. Remember the lid used to blow off? There was a mark on the ceiling poof, where the lid used to hit, you know? So, you know, I was there washing, you know, I'm Bhakta Bab, I'm washing pots, and they're putting it in, and chaunts the dal, poof, lid goes off. Everybody's coughing and sneezing. Prabhupada opened the door. He was with his servant. Kartikey at the time, I think, and he probably, oh, probably said, ah, just like India. Close the door and kept going, you know? So that's a little bit of the mood of Ndhudurka. But what I wanted to close with is that, anyway, I guess I'll just say this and save the rest for some other time. People criticize arranged marriages. Sannyasi talking about marriage. Here's the point I'm trying to make. What marriage, arranged marriages, I mean, the physical attraction has to be there, similar customs, similar family traditions. I mean, there's all kinds of features that make it work. But in the ultimate issue, you know what makes the arranged marriage done properly has a much, much higher success rate than what they call, you know, love marriage, is physical attraction. You get the 7-year itch, you know, what do they call it? There's the 20-pound stretch. As soon as they get the ring on, where'd that come from, you know? They gain so much weight. So many things happen, the men and the women. But the point is, what makes that relationship strong? Physical attraction wears off, this wears off. What makes it, you know? It is the act of shared experience. I'm going to say that again, and I'm going to make a point, and it matters. Not because I'm saying it, but the point actually matters. It is a matter of shared experiences. You know, you take out a mortgage together, you get kids who get sick, tragedies happen. Life is rough. And then you just go through it together as a team. Deep affection develops. I mean, assuming you've got normal people and all that stuff. We know the principles of devotional service. We know the principles of bhakti. But my initial example of what brings it all into focus, when you've got the deity, when you serve the deity through thick and thin, your marriage succeeds, your marriage blows up in smoke. Hey, we're wrapping it up here. Thanks. I promise we are. It's a kid that can't help it, you know. But I'm Krishna's and Krishna's mine. That I'm serving Krishna and Krishna is giving me the shelter of his lotus feet. Through thick and thin, having the deity, being able to serve the deity, and that means maintaining the temple, maintaining the gardens, maintaining the cars, Jayananda's main service. But if we learn the art of worshiping the deity in whatever capacity we can, and we fill our heart with service to the deities, Vaidhi Bhakti, first you do it out of duty. It becomes Raganuga. It becomes genuine, unbreakable love. So that's a little glimpse into the importance of deity worship and beautiful Rukmini Dwarkadish. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. And we went way over. I'm sorry.